gotta get through. Let down the walls. Let down the walls. Into the world. This is gonna get through. This is gonna be free. This place with a property lies with a feeling pushed from behind.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special episode of the Rock and Wrestling Podcast. When I started the show, I had a goal in mind as to, one, stick it to the people that wouldn't let me be on their podcast, and two, get some of my good friends that I have that are in bands and making music and have a story to tell. And the one person I had in mind when I started the show was a good friend of mine from the band Whipped. His name is Derek Diedrich Mueller, and I would like to welcome to the show. Derek, how's it going?
Pretty good. How's it going over there, Tyler?
Not too bad. So you have a new album out this week. Yes. Tell us about this new album.
Well, it's called Future No Brainers. It's a 6-song EP, and came out on Tuesday, and I have been watching the Bandcamp stamps, the Bandcamp stats pretty religiously, even though they don't change all that much.
Yeah, I'm the same way about the podcast stats.
Yeah.
So what's the story of the new album?
Well, it's with the first record, we wrote a little you'd call it, what are they, concept records, right?
And right.
So each record is sort of a concept record, which is sort of lame, but I don't know. I like to think of them as EPs for future movies, like that could be used in movies. And, like, I don't know why I like that.
Maybe I personally love concept albums. They're kind of like,
yeah,
it's just something different, and it means a lot more when there's, like, a story behind it.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it gives you like a creative jumping point, especially compared to the way I used to write records, which was just kind of like, kind of spew whatever was coming out of my gut and kind of do it very selfishly without input from the rest of the band. And this new method is sort of more collaborative, and we can really push everyone to kind of contribute. And so, yeah, getting back to the question, the first record was sort of about escaping the city or escaping city life and just kind of fucking off into the woods.
And what was the name of that album?
That was called This Is Gonna Get Slow.
All right.
And then afterwards, upon reflecting on that, we were kind of like, well, it's kind of escapist, and it's kind of the antithesis of punk rock a little bit, in the sense that you're sort of escaping your problems and not really confronting them head on. So we decided to write the new record about sort of the future social issues that we'll confront within the next 50 years.
Cool. So there's a lot of themes of it in the new record. What are some of the big themes on the new album?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, patent trolling is like a big sort of, well, let's see. Let me start here. The first song, The Singularity, is kind of like a very brief song just about like how there's this idea of the singularity, and that like that's a moment when technology sort of surpasses human learning, like, or like the rate at which technology learns surpasses our rate of knowledge. And people could also call that term bullshit. They call the singularity bullshit. So, and it is kind of a bullshit song in the sense that what we're essentially saying is we're going to reach the singularity like sleeping. You know, we're going to be like kind of on autopilot. And it's, I think it's similar to the movie WALL-E, but I've actually never seen that movie.
It's cool. I haven't seen it either.
Oh, shoot. Well, someone will have to let us know. Anyway, yeah. And, you know, there's other themes like being sympathetic for robots as they sort of learn as they go through their adolescence. And also there's just sort of like what the future will look like in terms of, you know, getting rid of dogma and throwing out our old beliefs and kind of like, you know, getting a new set of ideas, whether it's like, you know, having smaller family and family planning and kind of getting rid of genders kind of altogether. And, you know, a number of things. So Yeah, a number of things. There's a lot of things on it.
A lot of stuff. And there's one thing I always want to talk to you about is your sound. You have a really good sound. That's you screaming, right?
Yeah, for the most part. Dave and I try to split the vocal duties in half, but I do usually like take a little bit more of it than him.
Now, how did you find your voice, your Ian MacKay, Chuck Reagan-esque voice?
Well, we've talked about this before, and I mean, the shortest version of it is Hot Water Music, you know? but it was kind of, you know, I think when I back in the days when I was in a ska band, and I'll admit this, I think Reese Roper is his name from Five Iron Frenzy. He was like a god to me, so that's where I kind of got my singing voice from. And then in like 1999, after ska died and I had to move to something else, you know, I moved on to kind of like emo screamo, and just hearing Hot Water Music and like the roughness of it, I finally started to sort of appreciate that. And, you know, and honestly, it's something that like on each record, I always say to everyone like, oh, I'm going to sing more. And then when I put stuff down, they kind of say, well, no, can you just scream it more? That sounds better, or yell it more. And so I just kind of give in because I'm kind of a pushover. So it's kind of developed that way. And it's just a really great, I mean, it's abrasive, and I don't always even like being abrasive, but it just feels so good. Like, even from the most selfish perspective of like, you know, when you think about an artist getting up on stage and like, you know, especially in today's like come to my band kind of, or come to my show kind of culture of like, oh, we're playing at this very small bar and come to it and see it. And that's sort of like a selfish act. So it's just incredible to sort of get up on stage in front of people and just yell right at them, you know, and they're sort of, it's not like they're even audience members. They're sort of subjected to your art. Right. And it's cathartic, and it's sort of, and it's a way to like, you know, I guess just get out the frustrations and the angst, and, you know, and that's the thing. When you meet me on the street, I'm actually a quiet person and I usually just look down. So, you know, it's sort of counter to the rest of my personality. So, I don't know. I mean, that's...
So when you go on stage, do you see yourself going through somewhat of a transformation from offstage Derek to onstage Derek?
I just open up. Like, right. It just flows out, you know, and I don't think about it anymore. It just sort of happens. And like between songs, I just kind of giggle.
Right. So how comfortable are you with performing?
You know, every year I'm on stage, you know, I get more comfortable with it. And, right. You know, we're not the kind of band that has like great banter, but like, you know, even that sort of improves in little tiny increments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people that it's just like they like recording music, they like writing music, but performing, they just don't enjoy it at all. Do you enjoy it?
Well, I mean, it's a fucking joke.
Right.
Like, punk rock's a joke.
Yeah.
And like, I like that about it. Like, I have a sort of mini saying that I carry around, which is that, like, comedians are the real punk rockers, and punk rockers are comedians. Because comedians actually do something dangerous or, you know, like, risky. And right. Punk rockers kind of tell jokes because they can always kind of take it back.
Right.
You know?
So tell me about how the band got together.
So it started where I was working at a like digital marketing agency, like you do when you're in a punk rock band in the city.
Yep, very punk.
And I met my friend, my now very good friend, Dave Matfield. And I was in Hawkbit at the time, and he was struggling to kind of put a band together. And he had been in a band in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan called Fried Chinese Donald's. And like they were great. And he was struggling to get this band going. And after a while, I got frustrated to the point where I said, well, I'm going to start a band with you because I want you to be in a band. And he had been jamming with his friend, David Hughes, also from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and the drummer. And so we kind of just met up that way, and we were jamming at Mystery Street, which is sort of a, you know, like a small practice studio on the northish side of Chicago.
Cool.
And we started there, and we jammed for a couple months, and then we got our bass player on Craigslist, and he was a certified Brit off the boat. And yeah.
So how did that come about, finding a Craigslist bass player?
I mean, I think we were toying around with the idea of looking on Craigslist because we didn't, like, all the bass players we knew were all doing something. So then we saw this guy posting saying, I'm moving, you know, like, oi, I'm moving to Chicago. I don't have an accent there. I'm moving to Chicago and I want to be in a serious band, which is sort of funny, seeing as we're not that serious. And he said something. I can't remember if he said Hot Water Music first or if we sort of responded back to him saying that that's what we were sort of thinking a little bit. And then, you know, it just kind of went from there. And, you know, I don't really have much more to say about that, I guess.
Cool. Now tell me about your punk rock journey.
So I started a band when I was in high school. And I've been in a band pretty much since that day. So since, like, I'm 30 now, so since I was 14 or 15. And, you know, the high school band was some kind of, like, ska punk band without horns, and which I thought was super credible or whatever. And then afterwards, I joined a ska band. I tried going off to San Francisco, and then I came back, and then I joined a ska band called The Indecisives.
How old were you when you went to San Francisco?
How old was I? That was me trying to go to an art college there that wasn't really all that great and was way too expensive.
How long were you there?
So, 3 months, and then I just kind of came back, got a job, and then, like, tried to go off to a different university to do engineering, and then that didn't work. But in that time, I joined this ska band, The Indecisives, and I was in that band for maybe 3 or 4 years, and that's where I got my first sort of road experience and kind of touring all over the country. And, you know, I was such a brat about it at the time, and I didn't appreciate it. And since then, you know, just sort of long for that experience again.
Right.
And after that, you know, I started another band that was like some sort of like synth punk emo band. And finally, I mean, it's really the arc of like kind of crappy punk, you know, like all the little I've been in all the little like waves of like micro popularity. then after that, you know, I decided that I really wanted to do something that like I felt really good about and that I could get really behind, because, you know, like even when I joined the ska band, I was like sort of already over ska at that point. So, you know, like we started Hawkbit, which again was sort of where the yelling, you know, yelling started occurring there. And then that was with some really close friends from the first band, and that lasted for a few years, but, you know, their careers and their lives kind of like took over, and I was, you know, kind of like, and for a while I was going to be happy to straddle, you know, or, you know, handle Hawkbit and Whipped at the same time, but, you know, kind of Whipped kept going and Hawkbit kind of just fell by the side a little bit.
Now, wasn't Hawkbit supposed to get back together?
Yeah, I mean, we've got this second record that, like, we've never finished or anything like that. And every once in a while we kind of get back together to jam, but it's almost more like an excuse to just hang out with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play 2050 Common Sense from the new album Future No Brainers, and we're going to talk about that song, and then we're going to wrap it up. So you're listening to the Rock and Wrestling Podcast. This is Whipped with 2050 Common Sense.
Jump!
And we're back with Derek Dijamuller from the band Whipped. Now, Derek, tell me about the song we just heard, 2050 Common Sense.
Right. So if the whole record is sort of about, you know, future social issues or, you know, present to future social issues, the 2050 is kind of the where we sum it all together. And it's the lyrics are written by Dave Matfield, the other singer and lyricist. And it's sort of him making a video for his son. If Dave were to die tomorrow, this would be like something that his son would look at, you know, in the future. And it takes the form of a song and just everything he would say to his son about, you know, being self-confident and, you know, not like, you know, not just not like getting bogged down in dogma, I suppose. And
right.
Just, and then like it's sort of our manifesto for future politics. I really don't know too much. I mean, like, if you have a more specific question or something like that, I can like answer
right.
it better.
Right. So we were talking about you and all your bands that you've been in. What were some of the bands you grew up listening to?
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, as I said earlier, I grew up, starting with ska, you know, like after sort of the initial Real Big Fish and kind of Less Than Jake and some of your onboarding ska, punk ska bands, if you will, I think the first bands that I really kind of got into or passionate about were some of the Chicago jump up bands, like Hostove Jimmy was a great kind of drunken ska band. And then there was the Blue Meanies, which was like sort of like circus ska. And then, yeah, as I said, Five Iron Frenzy, like for a time I was able to sort of ignore that they were like Christian. I really wanted to believe that, you know, this dude in this band, Reese or whatever his name is, he like was sort of like a critically thinking, you know, Christian. And after a while though, it got like too much for me. And I'm trying to think of like at the time, you know, I mean, I've always been a huge Fountains of Wayne fan too, which is really weird. I don't really know how to talk about that though. And then afterwards, you know, when I started getting in, when ska died and I kind of, you know, I started had to look around for something else, I kind of got into, I mean, Hot Water Music for one, but then also things like the Honor System. I mean, I don't know if we've really ever talked about that before, but like the Honor System to me represented kind of like the best in Chicago punk at that time. Like
right.
it was technical and it was interesting and it was raw and passionate at the same time. And it, I mean, the lyrics too, I've always been a huge like geek about lyrics and,
right.
you know, just sort of about that, like the depression of the city, you know, right. and city life. And then, I mean, from there, whew, geez, I mean, current, yeah. Like, you know, I had my all those, like, you know, for a time, Alkaline Trio was huge too. I mean,
yeah,
from
my favorite
from here
band.
To Infirmary, I mean, goddamn, it's great, but like From Here to Infirmary was like, I mean, so emo and so
yeah.
that age that I was at like 22 or 23. So
that's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Are you excited for Riot Fest lineup this year?
Yeah, I was sort of telling myself, well, I don't know. I was telling myself I wasn't going to be because I feel like someone had like, said like, oh, the Riot Fest lineup's gonna suck this year, and then I finally saw it, and it was like, oh, this is incredible. I mean,
yeah, the tickets suck. The ticket price kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I had to buy mine right away. I had no choice in the matter. It was.
I haven't gotten mine because, you know, broke, but.
Yeah. Well, get it
yeah.
when you can.
Who are you excited to see on the lineup?
First and foremost, Hot Snakes, because I've never had the pleasure of seeing Hot Snakes. And they are one of my all-time favorite bands. And The Cure, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
I wish that The Cure was doing, like, Disintegration or something like that. You know, like a full record kind
of
deal.
Right. A lot of the bands on this year's tour are doing, or this year's fest are doing full albums. Like, Weezer's doing all Blue Album and Offspring's
yeah.
doing all Smash.
Yeah, I saw that, and there was which one was it? There was one that I was definitely like really kind of like it made me go from like not so excited to see that band to like more excited to seeing them. But now I would have to like pull it up real fast. But
I just pulled up the lineup just so I can see who was on there.
Yeah,
I would want to see.
But
Sell a Kidney for.
I mean, I would be like stoked to see RX Bandits again. Like right. They were a huge band for a while too.
I know you're a big RX Bandits fan, so
yeah, I saw that. The Resignation was a great record, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Tyler bands on here, so like Bouncing Souls, who I've never seen before. Super excited to see that.
Yeah. I got to see one of their record shows when they did that little stint in Chicago a couple years ago. And I went on the night. I think they were doing two albums a night or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Hopeless Romantic and another one. And Hopeless Romantic was the record of theirs that I really got into.
Yeah, that's a good album.
Let's see. Jesus. Well, now we're just like surfing the internet for radio.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. I got the lineup in front of me.
Me too.
Okay. Yeah, okay, here's another thing. Metric. I fucking love Metric. Emily Haynes is a goddess. And
I never listened to them. They kind of always sound like the Pepsi to Tegan and Sarah's Coke.
Yeah, but she is like, she just writes these very empowering lyrics for women. Like, she takes her sexuality, like, and just, like, owns it, and it's, and it comes out, and, like, again, like, lyrics you can really, like, chew on, and they're great.
Give them a listen a little bit more.
Yeah, and let's see, who else is on here that's, like, so crazy? I like how we're just kind of going, like, all right, let's talk about this this Riot Fest lineup. Oh, Blue Meanies are on here, which is
right.
Awesome. Yeah, because they, like,
that.
Barely ever play.
Right.
And Billy Bragg, I love Billy Bragg, too.
You probably don't give a shit about this, but Sales Sing with Anthony Green was, like, my high school.
Because he's the original singer, right?
Yeah. And then they got, like, this Mormon guy, and he left because he didn't want to be in, like, a stereotypical emo band when all that stuff was happening at that time.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do his more experimental rock with Circus Survive. And,
oh, that's right.
And they haven't had a singer in a couple of years because their singer quit. And so now he's been doing like a reunion tour, and that's super exciting. So
have
I really
noticed,
want to see that.
Have you noticed how on like a lot of this, they're like people are pulling double duty, like Descendants all say, now that you say that, Seosin and Circus Survivor on here.
Yeah.
NoFX and Me First.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, that's smart.
I would love to see Dashboard Confessional.
Oh yeah.
Even though they have like a bad reputation for being like the emo band, but I just love a Mark Mission, Brand of Scars, so that stuff is just
yeah. There was one song, Turpentine Chaser, off of Swiss Army Romance that was totally my jam back in the day.
Good stuff.
Motion City soundtrack again. If they played I Am the Movie, I would go nuts. But...
Well, you should have went with me on New Year's at the Bottom Lounge when they played that album.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Let's see, who else is on here that's like, I would check out Laura Stevenson. Oh, the Pizza Underground, Macaulay Culkin doing like Velvet Underground songs, but changes all the lyrics to about pizza.
Is that what that is?
I think so, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a total joke. And like, I mean, but that dude, like, he's made like the best possible joke out of his like career after being a kid star, so...
That's
kind of
awesome.
Like, and also that movie Party Monster kind of rules.
Yeah. The World is a Beautiful Place. I'm Long Afraid to Die. They're a really good band I've been listening to lately.
Who's that?
The World is a Beautiful Place, and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die.
That's a full name?
Yeah, that's their name. That's why there's an ellipses at the end of their name on the
lineup. Yeah. Cool. Okay, I see that. Yeah. I mean, I see it now. Get Up Kids. If the Get Up Kids playing Something to Write Home About,
that's what they're playing.
Although Get Up Kids is possibly one of the most boring bands to watch live.
Yeah, they're not really exciting, but their music's awesome, and I love seeing them. Yeah. So, and being from not from Kansas City, but I lived in Kansas City forever. That's just like, those are my guys, and I know people that are good friends with them, and I'm good friends with the bassist from. The New Amsterdam's Billy Belzer.
Yeah.
Just knowing him from Queer Scene and hanging out in Kansas City at coffee shops and stuff. He's a cool kid.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I would also mention Failure for sure. I mean, Failure. Like, do you know anything about that band?
I don't.
They were sort of like one of those like kind of big 90s alt bands, like, you know, like they were never super popular, but they had that kind of big LA 90s sound. Mm-hmm. And the guy just has this super beautiful voice, and it's like sonically, like my friend who's a sound engineer, like, he just loves that record because it's sonically one of the most beautiful records that sort of ever came out. And who else? There was another one on here that, oh yeah, Naked Ray Gun doing Throb Throb. I would definitely check that out because that is a great record.
Do you think Green Day is going to be there playing Dookie? Because there's one other mystery band that's playing the full record.
Yeah, I mean,
that's been the rumor since like day one of like AbsolutePunk.net Riot Fest forum was they.
I want to support like Green Day, but it's just they made it so hard to. I can't do it anymore. And like I want to support, you know, Billy Joe too, because like he's one of those, you know. He's one of those artists that sort of had the kind of balls to sort of express like kind of gender bending and stuff like that as a, you know.
And I mean, I was a Green Day fan for a week.
Yeah.
In like 2002, but like I can't listen to Green Day songs for that long.
Yeah.
They start to get old really fast. That's just my opinion. I would hear them overplayed a lot when I started.
Hey, let's not take up any more time talking about it.
Yeah, fuck them. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Riot Fest should be a good time. I have to sell a kidney or two to get tickets, but
yeah, we'll figure something out.
I'm going to try in all my power to get to see some of these bands, especially Anthony Green with sales, and that should be.
Yeah.
I would jump a fence to see that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do we have any time left? Or are we done?
Oh no, we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. Top five favorite bands right now. Who are you listening to?
Okay, so most recently, I'll do this in sort of backwards order of what I've been mostly listening to.
Okay.
I've been listening to Low, which is sort of this like post wave, no wave, whatever you want to call it, just kind of like sad pappy, like you know, girl and guy singer harmonizing together, and they just write these very beautiful downtrodden songs.
Right.
And then let's see, what else? And then I've been listening to a decent amount of Velocicoptor, this band from Chicago that we sort of like, we like trying to say that we're buddies with them and we like playing shows with them, but, you know, like they kind of do more than us, so it's like whatever. But they're like super fun, and they just like, she's like the singer, one of the singers, Meg, she's got this very like 90s kind of goddess, like Hole If Hole Was Good. Sorry, I know that doesn't... That's going to ruffle your feathers.
I'm not a big Hole fan. We just went to go see Courtney Love because I got free tickets.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, yeah. Never mind. Sorry. And I did see Meg at that show. So if she ever hears that, I saw her but didn't go up to her to say hi because it was like it wasn't like that back then. Like I was just like, oh, there's that girl from Velocicoptor. Anyway, Velocicoptor for sure. And then like I remember, again, I have to pull up my iTunes because Dirty Tactics from Philadelphia are always going to be one of my favorite bands. I will when anyone ever asks me what bands I'm listening to, I'll always say them because I don't even think they're around anymore, and they're just so good. And they're not overly distorted. They, you know, they sing about kind of being like you know, dirty punk rockers who will never make it and don't have a shot. But it's just, I don't know, it's just amazing. And I hope they get their. I hope they get their day one day.
Something we can relate to.
Yeah, for sure. And then, hold on. What else have I been? Oh, and then, so I don't remember exactly. You know what? I'm going to say Bars of Gold because I really fucking love those guys. And I loved Bear vs. Shark. And that, what's his name? Mark Piloff or whatever. That guy is a son of a bitch because he doesn't, like, take that band out of his own state of Michigan too often. He plays way too much just there. And that record, that new Bars of Gold record, Wheels, is so good. And I don't know. I'll always love that guy. That guy has such a frenetic energy. And he can just, like, carry the crowd on, like, weird yelps and, like, weird little hums and stuff like that that he does, like, when he's playing. It's just you gotta see it. And then, I mean, like, I've been listening to Black Me Out by Against Me. Like, I've got
awesome song.
My most played on iTunes says that, like, I've listened to it 9 times recently. And I always But I always reset my plays.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm always constantly
so neurotic.
So, yeah, like, black me out. I just want to piss on the walls of everyone's houses.
My most recently played will probably be Fuzzbuster, but that's another story. Yeah. Before we go, I want to talk about one thing. One of my favorite things about Derek is that he has his own venue, the FML. Tell us about this place.
Right. Okay. So FML is, I mean, we call it FML because FML is kind of like cute or whatever, and people can remember it. But it kind of stands for Fulton Market Loft because it's actually located in the West Loop of Chicago, like one block south of Fulton Market proper. And I just had a friend, you know, a couple years ago who said, hey, I'm going off to school. And he ran some small acoustic shows out of the place. And he said, do you want the place? And I couldn't even afford it at the time. But I was just like, yes, whatever the, you know, like I had to do it.
Right.
And we started putting on shows and we just like the change from, you know, venue shows and like asking your friends to, you know, like see you some random place. We just like to keep it as kind of like a party. So
yeah, it's really unique because it has the home feel while having a concert venue feel, just because of the way that it's laid out, how you have the little stage with the small hallway that yeah. you can pack a lot of people into and get really great sound out of because the ceilings are so high.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an awesome place to see a
show.
Well,
yeah, and then, you know, Ben, I haven't really said enough about him at all, but Ben, our bass player, he's a sound engineer. He's our sound engineer, and he takes that sound super seriously, and he's pulled audio off the board for some bands, and then they post it up. And, I mean, check out Mystery Actions from Chicago Live Stuff. That's all Ben's live recording, and it's really, really great. And yeah. I mean, that's something that we take pride in. We just take pride in the fact that we're just doing it to have a party that everyone's going to enjoy. And just to, you know, because we weren't ever particularly good at self-promotion and like knowing the right people to ask for shows or even having a proper press kit. So we decided we would just start running our own shows.
Now, what if a band wants to come to Chicago and play a show at the FML? What do they have to do?
Oh, they just have to find one of us online. Or so you could. I'm on Facebook. I'm Derek Muller because I like to break my shit up and not be all available in one place in case, you know, like I want to go like do something crazy and like still have a job.
Right.
But, you know, Derek Muller on Facebook or there's some kind of like fmlparty.info okay. is usually where we host like the show information.
Cool.
But yeah, I would suggest do that.
So if you're on that website and you see a show coming up at FML, do not hesitate to go because it's always a good time and make sure you buy drinks and stuff. You know, I definitely want to get Anna on the show to talk about her mud wrestling.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. So you should pass that information on to her that I want to get her on the show.
For context, Anna is the like de facto bar like maiden, except you know, you might get punched if you call her a maiden.
or a bar wench, anything like that. You will get punched
thing,
in the face.
Yeah.
She's a tough chick.
But she's awesome, and she like just her glare will make you donate money for beer. So
yeah.
And that, you know,
or
and
fall
course,
in love, something
that
like
money,
that.
That all that money goes, you know, it's like a proper DIY space. All the money first goes to the touring band before anybody else.
And if you're straight edge like me, buy water. So.
Yeah. There you go.
So, Derek, thank you for coming on. Plug the band, thebandwhip.com, right?
Yeah, thebandwhip.com. From there, you can sort of see our streaming EP, but also whipped.bandcamp.com. Record, and you can pay absolutely nothing for it. Just get it on your goddamn fucking device and take it with you on your runs.
Whip.bandcamp.com?
I think so, yeah.
You started breaking up, but it's cool.
I shouldn't have got even that. Like, that was like a little overkill on the energy there.
No. It's internet stuff. It's cool.
Yeah. And then also we have a show coming up on May 29th. At Township with Tens, which is a band that played at FML, and we love those guys, and we like playing with them.
Where's Township for the people that
Township
don't know?
Township is at just IAB. South of the California Blue Line stop on California and Palmer.
Okay, I think I know where that is. Yeah.
Yeah, and we love that place too. We love Vito.
Cool, cool. Well, Derek, thanks for coming on. I'm gonna play Fuzz Buster. We're gonna get out of here. We got to get you and the rest of the guys back on. Dave and David on, and maybe Ben.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah.
Thanks a lot. I mean, thanks
Ben,
a lot.
Ben's gotta. We gotta get him on there because we have to like. He needs more I don't know. Never mind.
Apparently, you have a huge, big story to tell about who he is, being the man of mystery and British charm. He might be James Bond.
Yeah, because he's just been like in so many like weird bands all over the world, and like that story hasn't been fully fleshed out. Like he might have been James Bond.
Yeah, I might have to get him on and grill him. So yeah. Thanks again, Derek. Hopefully we can hang out soon. And everybody download what's the name of that album? God damn it. Future No Brainers. Yeah. Download This Is Gonna Get Slow. Both are very awesome. Both will rock your socks off, rock your car card. Thanks a bunch. Thanks for listening to the Rock and Wrestling Podcast. I am Tyler Black. You can find me at Ninja Tyler Black on Twitter. And you can find this show, Rock and Wrestling Podcast.podomatic.com. Please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And I will see you next week.